is inviting us to do is to pause and to notice what's happening. You know, what's happening, and to check in, can I be with this? You know, so it's not asking us to like what's happening. It's not asking us to fix what's happening. It's asking us to cultivate a relationship with what's happening that allows for more freedom, that allows for more space. And to me, that's good news, because there's a lot we can't fix right now, you know, single-handedly for sure, but even collectively, it's going to take some time. So the place that we really can work right now is to cultivate clarity of mind and steadiness of heart so that we can stay engaged with the world. The world needs us to be engaged, to not just check out and abandon, but to do so from a place that we're resourced. So that's part of what we're going to play with today. And we'll begin with practice. So I invite you to settle in and welcome Nancy. So glad that you're here too. To settle in a way that resources you. You know, what would actually resource or support your body? It might be sitting just as you're sitting. It might be that you need to adjust. It might be that you need to lie down. So taking care of the body so that it can be a good foundation for you. And as you begin to settle into your chosen posture, even here there might be just a little bit of movement. You know, maybe it's just a subtle rearranging of the hands. Maybe it's a little bit of swaying back and forth or front to back to find that place of balance where you can lengthen slightly through the spine so that you can draw on the strength and stability of your skeleton so your muscles don't have to work as hard. Maybe there's a gentle relaxing through the eyelids, or softening through the jaw or the belly. We often hold a quality of knottedness in the stomach, so lovingly seeing if the abdomen can soften. Perhaps relaxing any unnecessary holding or contracting in the legs. Sometimes when we're in a more activated or agitated state, there's almost this like readiness to run. And that can be felt in the lower body. So just checking in with this body. There may be other places in your body that you know characteristically are reservoirs for tension. And allowing yourself to perhaps take a few slightly deeper breaths into and through these knotted parts of the body. Not fighting with or forcing the tension to be different, but rather noticing, just offering the kindness of noticing, oh, here's a little pocket of discomfort or resistance, tension. And allowing the movement of the breath to massage these restricted and contracted places. And as you begin to settle into the body in this way, let yourself connect with the body to know the experience of the body in this moment. How's the body doing? Right here, right now. Maybe there's a sense of energy or alertness. Maybe there's a heaviness, a tiredness. You might tune in to any sensations that are presenting themselves anywhere in the body. A buzzing or tingling, achiness, twinge, sense of lengthening or loosening. Just opening to your experience in the body, just as it is. What's here? The body's like this, just like this. And if it helps you to stay close to the moment-to-moment felt experience in the body, you might use the practice of noting. Noting is just a gentle labeling of experience. It's almost like a little whisper of acknowledgement in the background. So if a particular sensation is easily identifiable, oh, itching, pulsing, tensing, you could just name that single word. Just as a way of staying focused on the body. Or you might prefer to keep it even simpler and just noting sensing or sensation each time you notice a felt sense in the body. And if somehow the noting feels distracting or takes you farther away from the direct experience being felt in the body, then just drop the noting and just let yourself keep coming home to what's here. Oh, the body's like this. Just like this. And you might find that you're pulled away from a felt sense of the body and into the activity of the mind or the emotional realm. And when you become aware of this, you might simply note, oh, thinking or feeling, emoting. Or there might be a particular flavor of mind or heart that's easily identified. Oh, planning, judging, comparing, worrying, remembering. Sadness, fear, irritation, contentment. And again, the focus of practice is to tune in to what's here. And to stay really close to the direct experience of the moment, not thinking about it or analyzing it. So the noting, if you choose to use it, doesn't involve much cognitive energy. It's just a simple recognition, rather than a debate trying to identify the right or most accurate label. So feeling in to what helps you stay close, to remain interested and connected to what's happening here and now. It's like this, just like this. Noticing where your attention is right now. And coming home to stand in the center of this moment, right here. It's like this. Just like this. And as we come to the final few minutes of this practice, perhaps reflecting on how might this capacity for honest, clear seeing inform how you not only know yourself, but how you interact with others, how you interface with the world. Perhaps even setting an intention or offering a wish. May all beings know the gift of honesty May all beings know peace and ease and freedom. May all beings be released from suffering and nourished by well-being. May it be so. So lovely to be with you and continue this exploration and building on where we were last week with patience. You know, this ability to persevere, to be present, to stay engaged, to forbear in the midst of what's unfolding. You know, patience has this quality of steadfastness. And the next quality in this lineup is truth. In Pali, the word is satya, S-A-C-C-A. Those of you in the yoga community may recognize there's a word satya, S-A-T-Y-A, that also means truth. And this is a quality that arises quite naturally when the heart and mind ripens or matures. It's really a quality of courageous, clear seeing. Oh, this is how it is. This is what's happening. It's like this. You know, in a previous series when we were looking at the precepts, you know, one of those was wise speech. So that was like truth-telling externally, refraining from lying. That was the action that represented truth in our relational world, in the way we interact externally. And here in this list, we had sila, the second parami in this list was ethical conduct. So that's also referenced. Truth telling is referenced here in that way. And then here, as we come to the seventh quality of truth, it's often talked about as the internal honesty, like really knowing the truth of our experience, moment to moment. You know, to stay directly connected to what's here, not what we wish was here, not the slightly improved version of it, or, you know, the fantasy. It's like, oh, it's like this. And there can be such a freedom in truth. There's a freedom externally, you know, when we don't lie, we don't have so much to track. Like, oh yeah, what did I tell that person? Ooh, how does this fit together? Like, there's tension in that. There's a burden. There's work. So there's actually an ease and a freedom that comes with telling the truth externally, and there's also a freedom that comes with telling the truth internally, with just seeing how it is. It opens the door to be more engaged, to be more skillful. It also opens the door more fully for those heartfelt, wholesome qualities that really nourish us to emerge. You know, the tension of not telling the truth takes energy, and so there's often contraction. But when we tell the truth and there's more ease, things like kindness, compassion, generosity, forgiveness, patience actually can bubble up. So we sort of see how truth-telling might even inform some of the things and support some of the qualities we've already worked with, like generosity, like patience. So again, these are all, you know, they're in a list, but they're really intertwined, interwoven, and we get to see the relationship between them. There's this lovely poem I stumbled across this week by Dana Faulds, entitled "Whatever Doesn't Serve," that points to, I think, the relationship between some of these qualities. Whatever doesn't serve, what weight can you put down right now, willingly relinquishing the pointed quills of guilt or judgment? What burden of the heart can lift? What dark corner can be lit, the candle flickering at first, then burning bright? With the next breath, let it go. That old story you've told yourself a million times. Whatever doesn't serve you on this path of truth, leave it behind. Offer this one gift, the simple sacrifice that in the giving sets you free to fully live. So the quality of renunciation that we had talked about a number of weeks ago, this practice of letting go of what doesn't serve, letting go of the struggle, brings us closer to truth and brings us closer to freedom. The simple sacrifice that in the giving sets you free to fully live. So this quality of truth. And one of the things that sometimes supports us in staying internally honest is the practice of noting. So that's what I invited into our guided practice today, if it speaks to you. Because it helps keep us freer from the wandering mind. You know, the mind starts telling stories, and this is a way of giving the mind just a little bit of a job to note what's happening. Oh, pulsing, tingling, thinking, feeling, sensing. That sometimes the mind starts to quiet. And when the mind quiets, our truth, we're often closer to our truth. And when we're closer to our truth, this eighth quality, so I'm doing these two together today because they sort of are nice buddies, is the quality of resolve. It's a word in Pali, aditana, and tana is often translated to take a stand, and adi is a prefix that means higher. So the translation literally might be to take a higher stand. And when we're close to our truth, we often know where we stand. Where do we want to stand? What do we value? What's important to us? What guides us? And so there's this way that we're invited to stand in our truth, you know, to stand in the center of this moment. And so it's another way I like to think about resolve, because sometimes that seems like such a stern word. The one of them that speaks to me is this idea of like devotion. I feel like resolve has this quality of devotion, like where do I want my heart to come, you know, where does my heart come alive? Where do I want to lean in? Where do I want to dedicate myself? So these are the next two qualities, truth and resolve, or dedication and devotion. And so I want to give you a chance to explore with each other these topics, how they might speak to you. You might consider, you know, what's your relationship with the truth? How does it support you? How does it serve you? You know, where do you get caught up? Sometimes when we look at truth, we start to see, where's the mind trick me? Where did I get tangled up? Where do I self-deceive? Because we all do it. And not to look at that from a place of judgment, but again, in support of greater freedom. And then where do you stand? You know, what's important to you? Where is your heart resting? And you may have your own unique way that this is speaking to you. And those questions might not. So really listen to your own truth as you come into your breakout groups. And we'll take a little time to enjoy each other's company and I'll look forward to seeing you when you come back. Okay, 5 minutes.
Hi, Julie. Welcome back, Karen. Hi, Jaina. Welcome back. So, I wanted to gift just a little time to hear if there was something from today's sharing, or maybe even something from the arc of, you know, all of these heartfelt qualities that we've been looking at that speaks to you, you know, an insight, a confusion, curiosity, question. Ellen, Thank you, Ellen. That's beautiful, and I'm glad there is support. And it's like our hearts and minds are really, and our bodies are really being challenged right now. You know, and how can we meet ourselves with such kindness and support, and so, you know, it's helpful to hear, because we have two more qualities in this list, and I'm considering sort of, I think the next month and a half or so is going to be intense for many people, so I'm considering, you know, what would best serve, what would best support as we fold into a different topic, and I have a few thoughts that might build on where we're going to go the next 2 weeks. We might just fold in, but I always welcome your input or feedback, whether it's here or in email, you know, what's speaking to you or what's alive for you, what do you need. So thank you. Yeah, anything else that wants to be spoken? Yeah. Yeah. So this might be something you really hold for the coming week, you know, along with any of the other qualities that speak to you. But, you know, truth, you know, this question of what's truth, true is coming up. It comes up internally, and it's coming up on a vast scale right now in many different places. And so, you know, taking refuge in the truth, and we can't control perhaps the truth out here, but we can stay true to ourselves, and there can be great comfort in that integrity, you know. And so explore and just see, you know, if that helps you find a place to stand. A place of stability amidst the swirl of all this information and what at times it feels like great untruths. And I have a final poem, a short one. But I also, so I don't forget, I just wanted to name, I think most of you are on my mailing list. Just in case some of you aren't, I'm going to send out another newsletter this week. If you want to receive it, you can sign up for my newsletter on my website. But as we're approaching, you know, as for those of you, as you continue with the Wednesday group, and I know some of you have taken the 4-week classes, sometimes people are reaching out or get to a place where they want to deepen into their practice, or they feel like, wow, these are really hard times. And there are many wonderful resources. Some people are offering like day-long meditation practice opportunities. There are many online opportunities. I'm always happy to be a resource for you, to connect you with other options to deepen your practice. And one that I'll be offering in October, toward the end of the month, is a 3-day online women's retreat. So I'm sorry, David, this one's for women. And we'll be looking at some of these themes around clarity, around compassion, around connection, and how to meet what's happening in the world. So if in any way that would feel supportive to you and you haven't gotten my newsletter, there is information on my website, or you could reach out. There is still space, and you'd be most welcome. And it's really in part also, it's mostly an opportunity to practice, and it's also a small fundraiser for the Rocky Mountain Eco Dharma Retreat Center that I'm on the board of, and we've been closed this season, so we're a small new center we're trying to keep open. So teaching a retreat in support of students, and then a secondary support of the center. So a short poem by Anna Swer. There is a light in me. Whether in daytime or in nighttime, I always carry inside a light. In the middle of noise and turmoil, I carry silence. Always I carry light and silence. Whether in daytime or in nighttime, I always carry inside a light. In the middle of noise and turmoil, I carry silence. Always I carry light and silence. So may this truth of your own light and your own silence, your capacity to touch peace, support and nourish you in the midst of the turmoil and the chaos. And I will look forward to seeing you next week. Take really good care. All right. Be well. You are welcome. Oh, so good to be with all of you. I just love our community on Wednesday. Be well.